Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, or good evening, depending on where you are. Welcome to We Uplift Radio. We are here to support and uplift, to encourage and empower you. We Uplift Radio is actually brought to you by Whispering Energy Collaboration. If you want to take your business to the next level in an atmosphere of integrity and cooperation, stop by whisperingenergy.com. My name is Aricia LaFrance, and I'm a psychological marketing strategist specializing in helping creative entrepreneurs grow their business quickly as the artisans that they truly are. To learn more, you can visit my site at ariciaLaFrance.com. And today, I am really pleased to be welcoming a fine artisan named Vincenzo Santalia, and he is actually calling probably in the evening where he is. And he's going to be talking with us about the now technique. And I'm so excited to hear about this because I've been hearing little bits and bobs through Whispering Energy, and I've gotten a lot of information about how great it is and how well people are responding to it. It's about embracing the whole living human being that you are. And it's really about how to make space for your body, emotions, thoughts, and inspirations on a daily basis and find yourself at home in the present moment. So welcome. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
Hi, Arisha. Hi, everybody. I'm very, very, very pleased to be with all of you.
Wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit. Now, did you invent the now technique, or is this something that somebody else invented that you learned about?
I don't know if the right word is inventing. Perhaps I have learned the now technique in different forms before I came to create my own synthesis. I believe that it belongs to a tradition of a dialogue based on true feelings and true sensations in which the body, the heart, and the mind are not separated from each other like we are used to understand them in the Western world, but they are more integrated as a whole living being, which is what we are. So I was introduced something like 25 years ago by my mentor, whose name was Jean Klein, to what he called the art of listening. And he spoke about the art of listening has the capacity to embrace the physical sensations as well as the emotions, the thoughts, or the images that would appear in our mind without separating one from each other. He taught this in a yoga and meditation form. And throughout the years, I've been practicing this art and exploring different other modalities. I have come to transpose this teaching, which is a traditional form of yoga, into a dialogue which is very meaningful to the Western lifestyle. So it's a very dynamic a way to embrace all the parts of ourselves through a dialogue, question and answer, in which the facilitators simply helps the client to bring into awareness those different aspects of ourselves in relation to a particular issue.
Wow, that sounds really, really amazing. And I love how you talk about it's kind of translating yoga into words in a way that sort of like Western people can understand, because you're really right about the way that we look at the body as all these separate pieces. Like, I know especially in Western medicine, and I study Western medicine as well as alternative medicine, and what I have found is that it's fascinating to me that when you go to a medical doctor in the Western world, and you have migraines, for example, they look at the migraine and they look at the brain, but they don't look at the rest of the body and see what's going on. When I started going to an alternative doctor, it was really interesting to me because I would talk to her and I'd say, I've got migraines, and she's like, oh, do you also have this, 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 this? And she talked about the whole system of the body, and she said, yeah, because when you're talking about migraines, you're talking about blood stagnation, and that occurs all over the body. And so she was kind of looking at it as a whole. And so I love that idea of looking at the body and the mind and the spirit and the emotions and all of that as a whole. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I believe that the most, let's say, the most inspiring model to put all the things together came from my grandmother, who used to weave and used to make her own embroidery. And I grew up when I was with her as a child, and it was like always taking a thread and connecting it with another thread and making a more complete and more coherent pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So as throughout the years I have been, let's say, interested, and I have investigated the different forms of therapy which could have been more focused either on the physical sensations, on the emotions, or on belief systems, or on visualizations, at a certain point I just was drawn to put them all together in the same session, just moving the awareness from one to the other. And this has been able to show that there is a hidden pattern of reaction to
mm-hmm.
any given issue, which is held into place by any of those aspects of our experience. So when we approach a headache from the energetic point of view, we see one aspect. If we approach it from the way in which the body transmits information and possibly the central nervous system expresses through the headache the lack of organization in the rest of the body or the lack of communication with the rest of the body, we are still looking only from the physical or the energetic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But if we investigate what is the relationship in the present moment of our physical body with the issue of the headache, we get one piece of information. Then we shift into what is my emotional relationship in this moment with the issue of the headache, I get another piece of information. What are the thoughts which comes to the surface, which are the beliefs that surface in this moment, in this very now, in relationship to the headache, I get another piece of information. And if the person has the capacity to see images, which most people do, I get another piece of information. And suddenly the old pattern becomes clear, and in the moment in which it becomes clear, it kind of dissolves. Instead of the headache, the person feels space, feels light, transparency, and freedom.
Hmm. Wow, I'm just taking that all in. That's pretty incredible. So when you're talking about this, I'm trying to visualize what a session would look like. What would a session look like with you? Is it something that would go for an hour or longer, or how does it work?
I rarely experience sessions longer than an hour. Sometimes the session can be as short as 15 minutes. And of course, it depends a lot on the amount of work that the person has done before to integrate all the different aspects of his own being. But this is very interesting. I've been experiencing the technique with people who are highly skilled in different forms of therapies or techniques for personal development. Or I worked with people who have no experience at all, and usually in between maximum 30 minutes and 40 minutes, the pattern becomes totally clear, and it just clears from the body, it clears from the emotional field and from the mind.
So who would the NOW technique be best for? Like, when would somebody say, oh, I need to go in for a session or an appointment? You know, when would they come in for it?
I didn't hear very well. Can you repeat, please?
Sure. What I'm wondering about is who is the NOW technique best for, and when would people give you a call and say, you know, I think that I really need to talk with you?
Right. That's a very interesting question, because I have had the fortune of working with highly skilled practitioners in different techniques, masters in their techniques, and they worked with several of their skills on their issues, and for them there is maybe just a missing link which comes to the surface through the NOW technique. And that is one end of the spectrum, is a person who has been highly involved into his own personal healing and transformation and can benefit from the technique. Or working with people who are just beginners in this process of self-awareness, and it begins to put into motion this regathering of all the pieces and the emerging of the feeling of wholeness which underlies our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for everybody.
And it sounds like it's a great deal of releasing and understanding how everything is connected and kind of getting a new perspective. Am I getting it? Is that kind of what it can do for people?
Yeah. Yeah, let's say that the fundamental nature of us as human being is, let's say, awareness or consciousness. In this awareness or in this consciousness, we do experience physical sensation. We do experience emotional states. We do experience thought patterns and beliefs. We do experience images. Now, when I explore each one of those in relationship to a particular issue, like a long-standing depression or a long-standing difficulties in communication, what happens is that the relationship between all those parts becomes clearer, and as a result of this augmented clarity, I become more aware of being the consciousness or the awareness in which those aspects of myself appear. It's like because I'm paying more attention to the strokes on the canvas, I also become more aware of the fact that there is a canvas on which all those strokes, all those colors, those signs are painted. And this this gives me depth of perception, and it gives me the capacity to embrace what I am perceiving And it also gives me the perception of the possibilities which are within that particular perception.
Wow. I mean, it's kind of like, it sounds like part of it too is that you get kind of an observer sort of a feeling, like you can see the whole. You can, as the person going through the now technique, instead of seeing fragments, it's almost like you kind of rise above that and you can see the whole.
Exactly. Exactly. One example that comes to my mind, like, right now, it's like when you listen to a piece of music, in the beginning you might pay attention to some of the instruments, like, for example, you can pay attention to the violins or to the drums or to the trumpets, and then as you become more familiar with that piece of music, you start to discover instruments that before you didn't hear or you were not aware. Then you start to become aware of the fact that the instruments are playing together. Some instruments begin and some instruments stop, and so on. And all of a sudden, you're becoming aware of something much bigger of what you were aware in the beginning. And
right.
in becoming aware of something much bigger, you become aware of the fact that there were, yes, some obstacles and some resistances. But within the perception of the obstacles and the resistance, also it increases the perception of the potential of the possibilities for freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and it has to do with higher states of consciousness. I mean, that's what it sounds like, that you're bringing people to, it's not only seeing themselves, but it's really bringing, it's evolving them.
Yes, it's evolving. It's evolving them to what they already are. They already are the wholeness of their sensations, of their emotions, of their thoughts, their inspirations, those images. We simply have, let's say, not learned how to cultivate consciously the relationship between them.
Mm-hmm.
And in our technique, it's about cultivating consciously the relationship between all the aspects of our life experience, and discover that as we become more perceptive, more, we feel more, we see more, we hear more, we experience more, and also we are so much bigger. We embrace more of ourselves and our life.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can come from an entirely different place. I mean, I'm looking at your website and you know, you think about if you were able to release feeling, you know, regretting the past, feeling anxious about the future, if you were able to release pain and blockages, if you were able to not feel scattered and fragmented and disconnected. You know, I talked to so many people yesterday, or I don't know what happened. It was like in the last week. People have talked to me and they have said things like, I'm feeling so discombobulated. I don't even know, how did I even get here? People are just feeling that way right now. So I should send them all to you, because it sounds like you could definitely help them out.
Yes. I believe that we are in a period of very fast and challenging transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of the process, which is at the core of the now technique, is body awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we return into the body, we return into the breath in the present moment again and again. And this kind of grounds us into the present moment. I believe that most of our anxieties and worries and fears come from the fact that we are either projecting too much into the future or we are holding too much into the past.
Mm-hmm.
When we return into the present moment and we kind of tune in to the wisdom, to the intelligence, and to the power, I think the power of now, as Eckhart Tolle calls it,
mm-hmm.
in that very moment, there is a deep strength and peace that is available to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the anchor for all the solicitations, for all the challenges that we are all experiencing in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember. It might have been Thich Nhat Hanh that I was reading his book, Wonderful Moment, Present Moment, Wonderful Moment, I think is the name of it. But he talks about that, how if we can be in the present moment, just right now, not looking at the rest of our day or what happened yesterday, but just right in this moment, we can kind of get into that sense of all is well, and we can focus on what we're really doing. When we start thinking about later today, I've got to do a lecture and I'm worried about that, or, you know, I'm concerned about my relationship with whoever, or, you know, gosh, yesterday I should have handled that better. That's where all of that, like, energy drain comes in and stress. And I believe that's where a lot of our illness comes from and a lot of our chronic illnesses come from.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I would suggest that a kind of a two ways approach, in the sense that teachers like Thich Nhat Hanh and Eckhart Tolle are usually suggesting is to be able to focus, zoom in into the present moment through different kind of practices, and that is definitely one of the sides of the coin. The other side of the coin, which I think is where the Now Technique brings a contribution to this journey to now, is the fact that analyzes sources of stress which have their roots in the past or in the future, and it helps the person to draw all back into the present moment by investigating the physical sensations, the emotions, the thoughts, and the images which emerge in the present moment in relationship to that source of stress which is either in the past or in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that way, it's like we are not saying, oh, the past and the future do not exist. Only in the present moment I find myself and I find my peace and I find my bliss. We're saying, yes, I do have a pattern of holding on to stresses which are from the past or are projection of the future. I acknowledge the fact that there is this pattern. And I investigate how this pattern is affecting me into the now. And by doing this, there is a kind of cutting the tie with that particular addiction to that stress.
Explain the addiction to stress a little bit more, because that's such an interesting thing to me, because most people would think, oh, I just want to release it. I'll be great if I can let it go. And then there's kind of an anxiety that comes up as soon as they, you know, the reality of, oh, I really can let this go? Oh, my gosh, what does that mean? So can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. Well, stress is really a whole body response to a perception of a potential threat.
Mm-hmm.
that whole body response is ingrained, embedded into our nervous system, into our immune system. It is blocking communication within and projecting dangers or challenges outside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we don't know how to function without being under fight or flight or freeze response,
mm-hmm.
and that is what we have been living most of our lives, then eventually, even though we do recognize the need and we do recognize the profound desire of living in peace and in joy, we simply don't know how to.
Mm-hmm.
And we are constantly reproducing the same patterns of stress to even the most innocent events. So we project dangers where they're not. We project stress when there is not. We need stress in order to feel safe, actually. Stress feels safe. And that is what I call addiction to stress.
Mm-hmm.
While if we investigate the pattern, as I said before, we become more aware of the way the pattern is affecting us. And in the same time, we become also aware of the possibilities for freedom which emerge from the awareness of the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we are aware of the pattern, we cannot become free from it.
Mm-hmm.
In
yeah.
the moment in which...
Sorry, I'm getting excited about what you're saying because one of the things that I work with a lot are, I work with parents sometimes and they'll talk about how their kids have this sense of entitlement and no responsibility. And when we don't take responsibility and when we don't, I was just teaching a class the other day and Jan Stringer, who wrote Attracting Perfect Customers and Being Attraction, was there. And we were talking about that, how a lot of times we don't want to take responsibility and we don't want to look at, oh my gosh, I am creating this own pattern in my life, or I am drawing to me things that I don't necessarily want in my life. And we have such a hard time taking responsibility, but the only way that we can move past it is to see it and to take responsibility for it and claim it and say, okay, you know what, this, at least part of it is my fault, so to speak, and now I can see that pattern and now I can do something about it. But we are so disempowered by not taking responsibility.
Yes, yes. I think one of the clearest explanation of this I found in the teaching of Thomas Hanna, who created somatics.
Mm-hmm.
And he says we have 500 years of history, at least, of studying the human body through vivisecting, or through cutting the human body into bits and pieces, into parts.
Mm-hmm.
Says we don't know what the human body really is, because in the moment in which we have started to cut it into pieces, we have stopped to rely on to the internal information that the human body is constantly giving to us. And he says that fundamentally by doing this, what we have lost is the capacity to rely on the information that comes from within instead of relying on a conceptual, a representation of what the human body is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I consider myself as a spiritual being who is embodying the descent of all my awareness in the human body is what is going to make the terrain, the field of life, familiar.
Mm-hmm.
If I am not embodying awareness, I am not aware of the first field of perception. The body is the place where life begins for the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So this the spirit relies on all the feedbacks that comes from the body. And the body says, this is safe. This feels good. This is loving. I am capable of performing this. I'm not capable, but I am learning to do
mm-hmm.
this or that. So the body is what is constantly balancing the experience of the mind, creating that experience whole.
Yeah, but, and that makes sense. And I like when you talk about, you know, when they're dissecting bodies and things like that, and they lose the person. So it's really the process, not the pieces. And I was teaching a class yesterday, I think, was it yesterday, on the aha process. And we talk about the brain, the physiology and things like that, and we kind of have an understanding of what the brain looks like and maybe where the aha comes from, but really the secret is in the process. It's in how everything is traveling in the brain. So where we can look at the physical pieces and say, oh, it must originate here because this part of the brain lights up, we don't understand the complexity of it because it's really about the neurons firing and things like that, and we can't quite track that yet. So you're right. It's the process, not the pieces, that make the person. And I think one of the things that I would love for you to share, if you're comfortable sharing it, is the story about, you know, when you were growing up and when you were helping your father with meditations and things like that. I would just love to have you share that with the audience because I think it's such an important story, and it just, you know, it really conveys,
yeah.
I think, why you do what you do.
Yeah. Well, my father lost his parents when he was six. He grew up alone in Sicily in a very, very difficult environment for a child to grow in. And as a result of that, he transmitted to me a lot of fears. And when I was growing up, I rebelled to that fear. And I went on to studying yoga and meditation and different forms of therapy. And my father never really approved or understood what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
When he was almost 80 years old, he became sick with lung cancer, and I had the chance to be very close to him in that period. And there were moments in which he was very vulnerable, and he accepted to be guided through very simple processes that I have learned throughout the years. And these processes were capable of kind of breaking the pattern of paranoia in which he would go, in which he remembered all the pain of when he was young and growing up, and associating the pain that he was experiencing now with lung cancer and all those hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And by guiding him through different aspects of awareness of whatever was going on with him, we experienced amazing moments of, I would say, bliss and release in spite of all the pain.
Mm.
And that was a very empowering, I think, for both of us. Even though he died, he died with a perspective in which there was a life which was not only pain, only suffering, where everything was already encased into a perception of suffering, but something that was capable of coming out of that box and open to a blissful mystery,
mm-hmm.
which was the preparation for his death.
Wow. I mean, I'm seeing this as something that is so powerful for people for a lot of people, but especially as people are transitioning, as I call it, from this life to wherever we go after this life. Because I'm just seeing that, you know, I've worked with a lot of people who talk about people who have gone through a lot of rough things growing up, or even Holocaust survivors, and as they get older into their 80s, 90s, when they are having times where they're beginning to transition, or they're going through an illness or something like that, they relate, like you said, that pain to the pain that they had growing up, and suddenly they are back there in the past going through that horrible stuff, and it sounds like the now technique can help them to release that stuff so that the pain can be kind of risen above.
Yes, yes. My experience with my father is the only experience I've had with a terminally ill patient,
mm-hmm.
is that all the past pains, hurts, come to the
mm-hmm.
surface, kind of
yeah.
hunting the person. And
mm-hmm.
as the pain grows, the person is either in the pain from the past or the anticipation
mm-hmm.
of this terrible fear of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And through the now technique, I was able of inviting my father to let go both of the pain of the past and the anticipation of the coming death, the coming passage,
mm-hmm.
and staying in the present moment without resisting, without being attached, without anticipation, staying in the present moment. And that has opened both the relationship between my father and me to a very deep understanding of each other. And
mm-hmm.
I believe my father died with a clear perspective, with a much clearer perspective, both on life and what was coming.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, it's a beautiful gift.
Yeah.
I wanted to read something from your website because I really liked this. I like a lot of your website, and I'll tell people too that it is at www.thenowtechnique.com. But I like what you said here. You said, "I have found one way to wholeness, to naturally move the attention through the breath from the body to the heart, to the mind, and to the vast spirit, and to acknowledge, embrace, and surrender to every split and every wall in them and between them. This pattern of present moment exploration opens doors that I never imagined existed." I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I do have a question for you. One of the things that I'm wondering about is how the now technique would help somebody with a chronic whatever. I mean, you talked about, you know, somebody who had kind of chronic depression. What about other chronic things like chronic illness, like chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia or some of these things that seem kind of elusive to Western medicine? Can it help with those sorts of things?
Well, the NOW technique is not really a therapy, but is a process of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And if, therefore, I'm not talking about diseases, but I might talk about the split and those walls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say, for example, chronic fatigue syndrome is a separation between what we want to do, how we want to live our life, and the energy that we have available to do it, the capacity of our body to do what we would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that a split or a wall?
Yeah,
or a form of separation?
Mm-hmm.
So the NOW technique kind of weaves a relationship where there are these walls, where there are those splits. And as a result of weaving that communication, the person always, always comes out of a session with a greater perception of the potential instead of the limitations.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Yeah, so they're more able, I mean, regardless of what it is that they're dealing with, whether it's, you know, something in the emotions, the spirit, the body, it's not like the NOW technique is a cure for that. It's like, you know, you'd want to keep talking with your doctors, with your healing people that you're working with. But the NOW technique can really help people come into a new awareness of the strength instead of the weaknesses, the possibilities, as opposed to the obstacles. Mm-hmm.
I believe that In Western medicine, the race for a diagnosis, which is necessary, is often very disempowering for the patient.
Mm-hmm.
It seems empowering for the medical profession, because the doctor has a protocol to apply to any particular disease. How does, in reality, the patient react to a diagnosis? I don't know if it's empowering or disempowering.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's empowering. We investigate what that particular set of symptoms, which affect the life of the patient, is affecting his own inner perception. So what does that mean at the level of the body? What does that mean at the level of the emotions? What kind of beliefs and thoughts are related to that?
Mm-hmm.
What images are associated with that? And most of the time, when we investigate that, we discover that there is a pattern which we have adopted many, many years ago, which does not serve us any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And we, exploring the pattern, we see a way out. Therefore, instead of confronting ourselves with the wall of the so-called disease, we are opening ourselves to a field of possibilities which emerges from the awareness of what that set of symptoms really meant for the individual. The beauty of the NOW technique, what really fascinates me of the NOW technique, is that the facilitator is only asking questions and drawing out of the client his own wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wisdom is the intelligence of the client, is also the healing force of the client, is awakening the resources available which the client has kind of overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point of view, the client is going to be more equipped to make a more empowered decision and become eventually a partner of the doctor instead of being a passive and weak collaborator.
Well, almost like a victim. I mean, I talk with a lot of people who, and there is a place for Western doctors. I'm not being critical. I'm saying that a lot of people, when we look at them, we talk about being a victim of cancer or a victim of heart disease or a victim of this or that, and it really does put us in a powerless position.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And those names, I mean, that, you know, when we talk about one of the things that I love about the alternative healers that I'm studying with and that I'm working with, they will talk about, you know, like, for example, when I was taking a class on acutonics, which is using tuning forks on acupuncture points, I was talking with a teacher, and she said something that I thought was very wise. She said that when somebody comes in and they tell me about that they have this big label, you know, they have this huge disease, and it could be cancer or neurofibromatosis or fibromyalgia or whatever, but we get this label from the doctor, which for some people they can say, oh, thank goodness, now I know what it is. But for some people it's like cancer, oh my gosh, that means that this is going to kill me, or heart disease, it means this, or diabetes. And she said, what I do is instead of saying to them, oh my gosh, you know, that's horrible, you know, there's a typical protocol for that, she's like, we can call it whatever we want to call it. What I want to know is, what is your experience of this right now in this moment so that we can work with your experience of it? And that, it sounds like a lot of what you're talking about too, but just from a different angle.
Yes, yes. The now technique is drawing out of the client the answers which are waiting for him or her to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
The person is definitely in a state of confusion, fear, and is looking for answers. Now,
yeah.
Where are these answers? Where are the answers which are going to empower him or she the most?
Mm-hmm.
And the mm-hmm. neural technique draws out of the patient or the client those answers, and the person, by becoming aware of all his associations with fears, all his associations with past pain, with the past traumas, is capable of seeing how it has been unconsciously perpetuating patterns which have led to the manifestation of the physical dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Now becomes free to choose a different behavior only when he really knows why and how he has acted that way.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives him freedom and the power.
Mhm. Yeah, it puts people who feel like they have no choices into a position where they have limitless choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe that we all in a way or another are on the journey of flipping those coins of being helpless to being empowered.
Yes, yes. And how can people get in touch with you? So if they're listening and they're saying, wow, this sounds great, I would really love to talk with you more about it or to schedule a time with you, do you work by telephone with people?
I work via Skype.
Mm-hmm.
The way to book a session or to connect or to ask some questions is through the website, which is www.thenowtechnique.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very happy to say that at the moment I am beginning to train some facilitators of the work. There
mm-hmm.
are some people who have already gone through the training and they are kind of experiencing more and becoming good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes me very happy because I believe that the process is very precious and so simple that can almost become part of our expanded vocabulary of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a vision which I hold for the long-term unfolding of the technique is to expand the understanding that as a whole living human being, we are the consciousness or the awareness which experiences all those aspects of ourselves and integrate that greater awareness in our daily communication
mm-hmm.
between each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And with the training, do people need to come to you, or do you have trainings all over the world, or is it by phone? How does the training work?
For the moment, I have chosen to train individuals instead of mm-hmm. training groups of people because
okay.
I believe that, first of all, the technique is kind of new, and I need to build more experience myself before I have synthesized a protocol of teaching which is effective for many. So I train people individually so that I can establish that personal relationship upon which I am more aware of the needs of the specific student.
Okay. And do people call you? I mean, can they call you and do the training by phone, or is it something that they need to do in person?
By Skype.
Oh, okay.
We do video sessions via Skype, and it's very effective.
Okay.
Very effective because the sessions are always based on question and answers, just like this interview.
Mm-hmm.
They are just bringing the person in, and we first work through the unsolved issue of the person, and that gives the possibility to the student to experience firsthand the quality of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we develop one of the different aspects of either scientific or spiritual or more experiential aspects that the person wants to deepen in order to acquire a greater understanding of the technique.
That sounds beautiful. Okay, great. And how long would a training take? Like if somebody wanted to learn to do this, how long would they anticipate it would take for them to learn the technique?
Well, that also depends because there are people who have done similar techniques and for them it is very natural to reintegrate the synthesis of the now technique, and for those people 8 or 9 classes are enough to start to experiment by themselves with the technique.
Mm-hmm.
They are just kind of integrating this new platform of investigation. Or if the person needs more, can go up to 20, 25 classes. But this is always kind of co-creatively discussed between
mm-hmm.
me and
mm-hmm.
the student.
Right.
I consider the student a co-developer of the technique.
Mm-hmm.
I'm adopting this module in which I really try to empower the student and the facilitator in finding his own or her own personal way of applying the principles, but continuing to remain faithful to his own intelligence.
Yes. Oh, that's you're a good teacher. That sounds like the best way to do it. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to thank you so much for coming and for telling us about the Now Technique, and I want to encourage people to visit the website, which is www.thenowtechnique.com, and you can read all about Vincenzo's story. You can learn more about the technique, and you can learn about how you can go in for a session, which you can do on the phone, so you can do it from anywhere.
Thank you, Alicia.
You are certainly welcome. And I wanted to thank Whispering Energy and all of our listeners. And thanks also to Trinity Damask for providing the beautiful music for our show. Please do visit her site at trinitydamask.com for more music and to check out her albums, because she has some great albums out. And until next time, dear ones, go in peace and connect with the now.
Hoping to find my way home. I once believed in a place at the end of the rainbow, destination complete. But I know now the journey's the answer to the truth that you.